Today's daf is Beya Daf Lamed Beis, and we have 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Omar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rafu Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Yaakov Aaron Ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka, and Etta Malka Bas Miriam. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Miril Bas Reb Moshe. So we're continuing to discuss halachos in Hilchis Yontif. The Dafin, the last several days, have discussed laws in Muktzah, halachos related to Uvda Dechayil, things that are inherently and intrinsically not necessarily a malacha, but at the same time, because of the fact that when one does that, he gives off the appearance that he's doing something that really he's not allowed to do on Yontif. It's for that reason Chazal said one needs to refrain from doing them. But in general, a lot of different isurim that the Rabbanon said one needs to stay away from on Yontif. Now, the last Mishnah that we had learned discussed a house, a bias that was Mole Peros. And this bias was Nifchas on Yontif. So at the beginning of Yontif, the owner of the Peros, the owner of the house, knew that he was not going to be able to benefit from these Peros on Yontif, simply because they were inside a house that was boarded off. And as a result, there would be no way on Yontif for him to be able to access these Peros. What happened? Lo and behold, Nifchas, the roof caved in. And as a result, now on Yontif, the circumstances change. He now has the ability to go take those pears. The question is, can he take the pears on Yontif or can he not? Essentially, it's a muktza shayla. Mishnah said, noito mimokem apchas, and the Gemara discussed a little bit this shita. But then the Mishnah said, Rameyo said, af poiches lekatchil v'noito, that in this case, the bias that's molei peiros, the person doesn't have to wait for something to cave in order for him to be able to access the peiros, but if he wants, he could be poiches lekatchil and he could be noito. And the Gemara asked the obvious question, how could a person knock down a house that's boarded off on Yontif? By doing that, he seems to be violating one of the 39 malachas. He seems to be violating the malacha of Soyser. Soyser is one of the Lamatas malachas, and Lachura, by knocking down a wall or a roof, you would violate the malacha of Soyser. And the Gemara made an oikimta. The oikimta was, we're talking about Ba'avira de Livni. This bias that the Mishnah was discussing, that was Malei Peiros, that was boarded off before Yontif, wasn't a regular bias that was built with bricks and mortar and everything was put into place properly, but rather the walls were a stack of levanim, a stack of bricks. There was no tit, there was no cement in between the rows of bricks, and as a result, it wasn't a proper wall. The reason Rav Meir says it can be poiches lekatchila is because Rav Meir says that knocking down this wall isn't really soiser. It's not a bona fide wall that you're not allowed to knock down. As a result, you can be poiches lekatchila. The Chacham clearly argue, they hold you can't knock down this wall lekatchila. The Chacham say the shmooze of whether you can benefit from the peiros or not is only if it was nifchas, but to go proactively and knock the wall down is something that you wouldn't be allowed to do. Clearly the Rabbanon hold that to knock a wall like that down, even though there's no cement, it's just a stack of bricks, would be considered soiser. In other words, there seems to be a machloikis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim and the Mishnah. If somebody has, we'll call it an inferior wall, is it usher to be soiser this wall, or is it not usher to be soiser the wall? Rav Meir says it can be poichas lekatchila. The Chachamim say it's going to be a problem. Now that's pashit. If Rav Meir holds it can be poichas lekatchila, even the Rabbanon that argue with Rav Meir would agree that this is not a question of a soiser deiraisa. So all it is a soiser de Rabbanon. But that then becomes the shaila. If you have a wall that's a stack of bricks, is it aser midrabanon to knock this wall down, or is it not aser midrabanon to knock this wall down? And really, the way the Gemara understands this, and this is the segue into today's daf, is there's a shaila as to an inferior type of structure. If you're soiser that, is it a problem midrabanon, or is it not a problem midrabanon? Midrei says for sure not a problem. The question is, what about midrabanon? According to the Chachamim, aser midrabanon. According to Rav Meir, af poiches lekatchila v'noitel, it's going to be mutter midrabanon. With that note, the Gemara begins with a related comment that the Amora Shmuel made. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, chaysamois shebekarka. So chaysamois are ropes that were used to fasten covers to kalim, ropes that were used to attach a door to the ground. These chaysamis, if it's shebekarka, it's attached to the ground. Matter, the halach is that you're allowed to untie the rope. If there's a knot, you can untie it. Avaloi mafkia, you can't unravel it. Veloi chaytech, and you can't cut it. Shebekalim, if these ropes are attached to kalim, matter, then you can untie it. Umafkia, you could even unravel it. Vechaytech, and you'd be able to cut it. Echad Shabbos, and said Shmuel, this halach is true for Shabbos. Echad Yontif, and it's going to be true for Yontif as well. So Shmuel was discussing these big ropes that are sometimes attached to the ground. They're sometimes attached to kalim. And the question is, could you be mater? Could you be mafkia? And can you be choytech? So Shmuel said, you could always be mater. The knots that these ropes had were not the type of knot that you're not allowed to untie on Shabbos or Yontif. So that for sure wasn't going to be an issue. The question is, can you actually destroy the rope by unraveling it or by snipping it? Is that okay or is it not okay? So Shmuel said, it depends. If it's attached to the ground, then it's a problem. Loi mafkia v'loi choytech. If it's attached to a keli, you could be mafkia and you could be choytech. Now, what's the difference if it's attached to the ground, if it's attached to the keli? The difference is, and the reason this is connected to the sugya we're learning, is because Shmuel understood that the problem with doing something to this rope is a problem of soyser. It's included in the melacha of destroying something. Just like you're not allowed to destroy a wall, so too you wouldn't be allowed to destroy this rope. At the same time, we have a principle, binyan vestira bekarka, or be'ein binyan vestira bekelim. There's no binyan vestira when it comes to a keli. So if somebody destroys a keli on Shabbos, someone destroys a keli on Yontif, even though he technically destroyed something, but it's not included in the malach of Soises. It said Shmuel, if the chaysamis, these ropes, were attached to the ground, then lo mafkia v'lo chaytech, because then we look at it as if it was a house that was attached to the ground. Just like you can't be soiser, a house, a wall, anything that's attached to the ground, that is soiser, so too you can't destroy these ropes either. If, however, it's attached to kelim, then it's going to be mutter, and the reason is because ain binyan vestira bekelim, and being that there's no problem to be soys a kalim, it's attached to a keli, we treat it as a keli, as a result it's not going to be a problem. And again, Shmuel said this is true for Shabbos and it's true for Yontif. So the Gemara asks a kasha meisvei from a braisa that discussed the exact same halacha that Shmuel discussed, but concluded differently. Says the braisa, chaysomis shebekarka, these chaysomis that are attached to the ground, b'Shabbos on Shabbos matter, you're allowed to untie them, avaloi mafkiv aloi chaytech, and allowed to destroy it. B'yontif, on Yontif, however, matter, you could be matter, umafkia v'chaytech, and you could be mafkia and chaytech as well. Now the braisa is talking specifically about the chaysomis shebekarka. And the braisa says, are you allowed to destroy it or you're not allowed to destroy it? It depends. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to destroy it. On Yontif, you are allowed to destroy it. What's the kasha on Shmuel? Shmuel said, the chaysomis shebekarka, you're not allowed to destroy. And he clearly said, echad Shabbos v'echad Yontif. Meaning, even on Yontif, you're not allowed to destroy it. Here the braisa says, mefurish, the chaysomis shebekarka, b'yontif, mater umafkia v'chaytech. So we have a stira. Is there a problem of being soiser these chaysomis when it's attached to the ground on Yontif or not? Shmuel said, it's a problem. The Braisa said before, it's not a problem. So, the Gemara, Hamani Rameir, Shmuel's going to tell you, I know that Braisa. But that Braisa is going according to Rameir, the Omar, who said in our Mishnah, Af Poiches Lekatchila Benoitel. You see, Rameir has a much lesser threshold when it comes to defining what Soyser is. Rameir says that if you have a stack of bricks, you can knock it down Lekatchila. Ayat Soyser, Midrabanan. Rameir's not worried about Soyser, Midrabanan. So, just like Rameir's not worried about Soyser, Midrabanan when it comes to knocking down these bricks, so too Rameir's not going to be worried about Soyser, Midrabanan when it comes to the chaysamay shebekarka. Shmuel said, I, however, don't paskin like Rameir. I hold like the chachamim in the Mishnah. Chachamim in the Mishnah didn't allow you to knock down the wall. The chachamim in the Mishnah said, bayishu molei peiros, the nifchas, and it came down on its own, then noitel mimakim apchas. But for you to go to katchil and do it is not okay. Oh, so according to the chachamim, chaysamay shebekarka would be considered soyser, and as a result, even on Yontif, it would be a problem. Now, just to point out one thing, in the braisa, it's clear that chaysamay shebekarka, you could be soyser, according to Rameir, only on Yontif, but not on Shabbos. And the reason is very simple, because even Rameir, that in our Mishnah said that if it's not a real soyser, you could do the katchila, and even Rameir, the way Shmuel just made the akimta, who says that if it's not a real soyser, you can be go ahead and do the katchila, it's only when it's Yontif. And when the purpose of doing this stira is Simchas Yontif,
it's oichel nefesh. So then we're going to be maker, like in the Mishnah. Bayeshu mole peiros. Oh, Rameir says it's a bayeshu mole peiros. It's yontif. So therefore, I'm going to let you go ahead and do a lekatchila. Even though soyser is not a malacha that you're allowed to do letzarech oichel nefesh. But in this case, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and do it on yontif. But on Shabbos, where there is no heter for oichel nefesh, so even Rameir is going to hold that it's going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, so again, said Shmuel, the Brice is going according to Rameir, just to finish the words inside, upligi Rabbanon olel. The Rabbanon, however, argue with Rameir, like they argue in the Mishnah, not that biki Rabbanon, and I paskin like the Rabbanon. Freak the Gemara, upligi Rabbanon olel, because some shabakar, is that true? Do the Rabbanon, in fact, argue with Rameir, meaning just like the Rabbanon say in our Mishnah that if you have a stack of bricks, you're not allowed to be soyser at lekatchila, so too the Rabbanon hold chaysamay shabakarka, you're not allowed to destroy on yontif. Vatanya, the mafurish of Brisa, not that way. Moidim chacham the Rameir, chacham moidim to Rameir, b'chay somay shebekarka, shebeshabes, mater, avoloi mafkia, v'loi chaytech, but beyond tif, mater o mafkia v'chaytech. The Brisa says very clearly that the chacham will moidim to Rameir, that these chay somay shebekarka, even though on Shabbos you can't be soysa, but on yontif, you are allowed to be soysa. So you see that even the chachamim, who in our Mishnah hold, that in the Bayeshu Malay Peres, where you have this inferior type of soysa, the Rabbanan say, that you can't do it even Tzorech Tzimchas Yontif, but the Chaysomei Shebekarka is not on the same level. It's a less of a Soyser, and the Chachamim hold it near. It's going to be okay. So again, what's the Kasha? Hodra Kushi L'duchte. Shmuel said, Chaysomei Shebekarka, you're not allowed to destroy. Why? It's Soyser. Doesn't matter if it's Shabbos, doesn't matter if it's Yontif. We have a Braisa that says that on Yontif you can do it. Shmuel said, Hamani Rameir hi. The problem is we have a Mefurish Shabraisa, Chamul Moedet Rameir in this case. Good sushtal. But the Braisa says clearly that the Chachamim and Rameir did not disagree. When it comes to the Chaysamish of the character, so the Gemara says, you have to say, who the Amash Shmuel's going to hold? Ki hai Tana, like the following Tana, meaning there's a third Braisa. The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, Chaysamish of the character, Mater, Avaloi Mafki, Avaloi Chaytech. When it comes to the Chaysamish of the character, you're allowed to untie them, but you can't destroy it. Echad Shabbos, Ve Echad Yantif. Oh, this is Mefurish. So you see clearly, Chaysamish Bekarki, you're not allowed to destroy on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to destroy on Yontif. Thus, there's a Mefurish of Braisa that says Shita Shmuel. So even though the Gemara brought two Braises in the beginning of the sugya, not like Shmuel, but Shmuel is not upgefrakt, because at the end of the day, there's a third Braisa. But the Braisa continues, and the Braisa says, V'shebekelim, as it relates to Chaysomei Shebekelim, the ones that are attached to the Kelim, B'Shabbos, Mater, on Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mater, Avaloi Mafkia V'loi Chaytech. However, you can't destroy it. B'Yontif, Mater Mafkia V'Chaytech. On Yontif, however, you're allowed to untie it, and you're allowed to destroy it as well. So the Gemara just said that Shmuel is going to follow this Braisa. Why? Because the Reish of the Braisa says exactly what Shmuel said, in contrast to what the previous two Braisa said. The Reish of the Braisa says, Chaysomei Shebekarka is a problem on Shabbos, it's even a problem on Yontif. The problem is, the Braisa continued, and the Braisa mentioned a Seifa, and the Seifa is actually fakert from what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, Chaysomei Shebekarka is always a problem. Echad Shabbos v'Echad Yontif. Chaysomei Shebekelim is never a problem. Echad Shabbos v'Echad Yontif. Why? Because ein binyan v'stir bekelim. So if I can destroy a keli, why can't I destroy a rope that's attached to the keli? Makes sense. But the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says, v'Shebekelim b'Shabbos mater, if it's Shabbos, we have to be machmer, and you're not allowed to destroy the rope. Beyond if matter or mafkia, straight to Gemara. So if that's the case, you just brought a brisa to support Shmuel. Teratz the lecharesha. So it's very nice. The resha of this brisa supports what Shmuel said in the resha of Elas Eifa Kasha. But the brisa has a seifa, and the seifa contradicts Shmuel. So we answered one question, but at the same time, we just gave ourselves another thing that we need to deal with, and that is, how do you reconcile Shmuel with the seifa of this braisa? And again, Shmuel said that when it comes to the ropes attached to the kelim, you're allowed to destroy them. You could be mafkia, you could be chaytech, you could do whatever you want. Why? Because ein bin yavistir v'kelim. Here the braisa says mefurish that on yontif that's true, but nishtaf Shabbos. Shabbos is more chamer, and when it comes to Shabbos, loy mafkia v'loy chaytech. What happened to ein bin yavistir v'kelim? That's the Gemara's kasha on Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Hamani, Shmuel's going to tell you that the braisa that says that you're not allowed to destroy the rope that's attached to the keli, Rav Nechemyah is going according to Rav Nechemyah. So who's Rav Nechemyah? So we've learned so much muktzah in the Seches Beya that it's only mistaber that at some point we were going to see Shitas Rav Nechemya. So when you think of Mukta, you always think of the Machloikis Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. It's in the conversation for maybe the most famous Machloikis Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, and Shas. Rav Yehuda is Islay Mukta, Rav Shimon's Leslay Mukta, which in English means Rav Yehuda was Machmer in the laws of Mukta, and Rav Shimon was Mekel in the laws of Mukta. But unbeknownst, there was a third Shita. Shitas Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya was even more Machmer in Mukta than Rabbi Yehuda. We, of course, don't paskin like Rabbi Nechemya. But at the same time, there was a shittas Rabbi Nechemya. Says the Gemara, this braisa that says that you're not allowed to cut a rope attached to a keli on Shabbos, Shmu will tell you, I know that braisa, but that's going according to Rabbi Nechemya. So who's this Rabbi Nechemya, the Amar, who said, Kol ha-kelim eini tolim elo derech tashmishin. Rabbi Nechemya's chumran hilchas Mukta was that a keli that's not Mukta, a keli that you are meichin, you're only allowed to be mishtamish with if you're mishtamish it in the normal way. Derech tashmishon. But if you take a fork, for example, that's not mukta, and you want to use it not to put it into a piece of meat, but rather for something else, being that it's not derech tashmishon, the halach is you would not be allowed to use it. So what does this all mean? Says the Gemara, the braisa that says that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut a rope that's attached to a keli, even if ain't binyan v'stir v'keli, what's pshat? Going according to Rav Nechemya. How are you going to attach? How are you going to cut the rope? You're going to use a knife. You're going to use a knife? Knives aren't really supposed to be used to cut ropes. Knives are meant to cut food, not to cut rope. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to use some of your flatware to now improvise to be able to cut the rope. You can't use the regular kelim you use to cut the rope because it's Shabbos. That's muksa. That's easy. So Elamai, you're going to use a keli that you're allowed to be mishtamish with. According to Rav Nechemya, that's not an option. So the reason the Braisa says that you can't cut the rope attached to the keli has nothing to do with Saiser. Ain't been your mystery of a kelim. Hamani Rav Nechemya. Abazak Shmuel. I don't hold like Rav Nechemya. So because I don't hold like Rav Nechemya, so I hold it's not going to be a shalom. Problem on Shabbos, and it's not going to be a problem on Yom Tov either. But the Gemara has a very obvious follow-up question. Irem Nechemya, if the Braisa is Rav Nechemya, and the issue is a Mukta issue, might you Shabbos for Yom Tov Nami, so why is it only a problem on Shabbos? It should be a problem on Yom Tov as well. The Braisa said very clearly, this issue is an issue on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov it's Mutter. L'chura, if it's a Mukta problem, then what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, maybe Rav Nechemya only said his halacha on Shabbos. Maybe Rav Nechemya never said his halacha on Yom Tov, specifically with his Simchas Yom Tov component, with his Neichel Nefesh component. Maybe the Rav Nechemya never said his halacha. But the Gemara says, it's not true. Did Rav Nechemya ever distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Atani Chado, we learned in a Braisa, Masikim Bekelim. You're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov, obviously. On Shabbos you can't, but you're allowed to add fuel to a fire using kelim. So you can throw kelim into a fire. However, you're not allowed to use kelim that broke on Yom Tov. A kelim that broke on Yom Tov is considered mukta. So if you had a keli that was already mukhan, so that you're allowed to use. But if you had a keli that broke on Yom Tov, that you can't. Tanya the Chumrin to another braisa masikin, you're allowed to make a fire bein bekelim, bein meshivrei kelim. You could use shivrei kelim. The Tanya the Chumrin was a third braisa in masikin loy bekelim, but loy beshivrei kelim. So it's a major stira. You have three different opinions as it relates to using kelim or shivrei kelim as fuel for a fire. Mashninon. And the way that Amiram answered and reconciled all these braisas was like Asha, Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemya. The first braisa that says Masikim bekelim, masikim b'shivrei kelim is Rav Yehuda. The kelim are muchan, you can use it. The shivrei kelim are not muchan, you can't use it. The braisa that says masikim bein bekelim, bein b'shivrei kelim is Rav Shimon. He's lasle muktzah. Don't worry about shivrei kelim. And the braisa that says ein masikim loy bekelim, loy b'shivrei kelim, you can't even use kelim as fuel for a fire. That's Rav Nechemya. That's shitas Rav Nechemya that you can only use a keli that's not muktzah. Derech Tashmishon. The Derech Tashmishon of a keli is not to throw it into a fire. Derech Tashmishon of a keli is to use it. But the point is, what do you see from it? You see the Rav Nechemya said as halacha even on Yom Tov. So you can't tell me that the braisa that says that you're allowed, that it's usher to go ahead and cut the rope attached to the keli on Shabbos is Rav Nechemya. Because if it's Rav Nechemya, then why is it going to be mutter on Yom Tov? And you'll tell me because maybe Rav Nechemya only said as halacha on Shabbos, he never said as halacha on Yom Tov. We just proved not that way because we have a braisa that talks about putting kelim into a fire on Yom Tov, and we're talking about Shitas Rav Nechemya. So the Gemara says, now Shmuel's going to tell you that really, La'olam, the Braisa is Rav Nechemya, and the Braisa that says that on Shabbos is a problem, not on Yom Tov, clearly is of the opinion that Rav Nechemya only said as halacha on Shabbos, didn't even say as halacha on Yom Tov. We just brought another Braisa that says that Rav Nechemya said as halacha on Yom Tov as well. Three Tanoim, I'll leave it to Rav Nechemya. You have to say there were two different Tanoim that both stated Rav Nechemya Shita. But the bottom line is that Shmuel discussed the halacha that was a little bit related to the Mishnah, and that is these big ropes that one wants to cut on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Can he or can he not? Shmuel made a a distinction between the chaisamais that were attached to the karka, the ones that were attached to the kelim. Shmuel held that by destroying these chaisamais, what you're doing is soiser. So if it's attached to the ground, there's a soiser problem. A wall that's attached to the ground, you can't knock down. These ropes that are attached to the ground, you can't destroy either. If it's attached to a keli, ain't binyan v'stir v'kelim. And in the course of the Gemara's discussion of Shita Shmuel, the Gemara had a whole bunch of different braises that seemed to contradict Shita Shmuel, and the Gemara worked it out. And on that note, we go me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, just another Mishnah with more halachas that, as we've mentioned previously, we would appreciate a lot more if we spent the day in Pumpadisa, but we'll try our best to be able to visualize and understand some of the underlying fundamentals as it relates to these ideas that really were stated in a world that we don't live in. Zok de Mishnah, ein poichsen es haner. You're not allowed to take clay and, Rashi says, stick your fist into the clay to turn it into a lamp. Mipneshu oisa clay. Because you just made a keli. And you're not allowed to make a keli on yontif. Ve'ein oisim p'chame b'yontif. You're not allowed to make charcoal on yontif. Ve'ein choytchen as apsilo l'shtayim. You're not allowed to take a wick and cut it into two. The reason you're not allowed to do all three of these things is because you're making something. Mesakin mana is one of the lametas malachis. Ma'akev apatish. You can't create, you can't make something on yontif. So in the reisha, you're making a lamp. In the second case, you're making charcoal. In the third case, you're taking one wick and you're making it into two. You're creating something. Creating something is tikkun mana. As a result, it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says, as relates to making the wick, if you have a wick and you want to cut it into two, there is an eitzah. If you take a fire, and the fire is what makes the one wick two, in that case it's going to be okay, the Gemara is going to explain. So the first line of the Mishnah was, the first halacha, in poichsen esaner, mipnesho oisakli. So again, you have a whole clump of clay, and you take your fist and you punch it into the clay. And by doing that, you just created a keli. It has some sort of base kibble. Now, what would you do with it? Apparently, you would use it as a ner. You would use it as a lamp. Zok to Mishnah, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to make a keli on yontif. Zok to Gemara, man tana de prisas ner monohu. Who's the tana that holds? That simply making a ner like that is considered tikkun mana, and as a result, you're not allowed to do it on yontif. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Rameyeri, it's going according to Rameyeri. Now, before we see the Gemara, what's the chiddush? Why would you think it's not a keli? Of course it's a keli. Going to find Rameyer now, then the Gemara is going to say maybe it's another Tana, as if to say there's some Chiddush over here that we have to find who the Tana is. I mean, it seems obvious. You had clay, now you went and you stuck your fist into it, so you just gave it a tsura. It has a function now, so you were Isakeli. So if you were Isakeli, it should be a problem. The reason is because the potters, the people that were in this umnis, after they would give the clay a form, they would stick it into the oven and they would be metzarefit. And that's what hardened it to the point that it was actually functional. So when you go and you give it a tsura, you're giving it a limited functionality. But at the same time, this is not the way it's oivel asoicher. This is not the way it's going to be used for the long haul. So really, the Mishnah is saying a little bit of a chiddush, because the Mishnah is saying that by simply taking the clay and giving it the tsura of a keli, that in and of itself is considered tikkun mana. Maybe I have to put it into the oven first. Maybe I have to make sure that it's going to be able to last a longer time before we look at it as tikkun mana. So the Gemara says, who's the Tana that holds that by simply fashioning a keli without being mitzarefit in the kifshan, without putting it into the oven, that in of itself is going to be enough? So the Gemara, that's Rameyer. The Tanya will learn to the Brayza. Kli cheres meim is a mekabel tumo. When is a kli cheres mekabel tumo? Mishenigmer melachtoi. As soon as he finished doing the melacha with it. Divi Rameyer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua says, and there are those that say the girsa can't be Rabbi Yeshua, because you don't find machloikas in between Rameyer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rameyer was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So you have a machloikas Rameyer and Rabbi Yeshua, not Mestaber. So some say the girsa probably was Rabbi Yehuda. It said Reish Yud, and accidentally it was interpreted as Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Yehuda. Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda are, of course, Bali Plukta throughout Shas. But either way, so Klicheris, when is it Mekabel Tumah? No, you have to put it into the oven first. Oh, it's clear. So you see, this machloik is Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir is the one that holds that simply being nigmar malach, even before you put it into the furnace, at that point it's already considered a klali. Rameir is the Tana of the Mishnah, which, by the way, makes sense because Tam Mishnah is Rameir. But Abaya told Rabbi Yosef, if there's Rabbi Yosef, there's Abaya. So Abaya told him, he might not come Rameir Hossam. Maybe when did Rameir say El Dechazi Likbulubay Midi? Maybe Rameir was only talking about a klali that you should actually do something with. So if you have a keli that was nigmar malachta, even though you didn't put it into the furnace yet, but if you could do something with it, it's considered a keli. But this keli, if it's not completed yet, simply putting your fist into a clump of clay, that's a keli. I don't even think Rameya would consider that a keli. What are you going to do with it? Well, it says, no, the kibuli bay pish pshiti. You could take money, you could take coins and store them there. You could do something with it. Ikadamri, some say, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said that who's the Tana, the Mishnah, that holds prisas ner manu, that in and of itself is already considered making it a keli. Rav Eliezer, Rav Tzadiki. Not Rav Meir, but it's Rav Eliezer, Rav Tzadik. We learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Idiyos. Ilfasin Charonios. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about Ilfasin Charonios. An Ilfas is a plate. Charonios, the Gemara is going to define, means the plates that the villagers used to use. So when you think of a plate, even though a plate is flat, but it has a little bit of a receptacle. There's a little bit of a base kibble. But the villagers, they lived a lot simpler, and as a result, their kalim and their plates very often were completely flat. So the Gemara is discussing their plates as it relates to the laws of being Mekabel Tumah. And the reason it's an interesting discussion from a Kabbalah's Tumah perspective is because there is a sifkatan in the world of Tumah V'Tahira that there's an afgemita between a keli that has a base kibble versus a keli that doesn't have a base kibble. So the ilfis in Charonios, the plates that the villagers used, were completely flat, so there was no base kibble. If there's no base kibble, so it has a unique status in the world of Tumah V'Tahira. So Zok the Mishnah, what's the halacha? Tahiros Ba'olames. If they're inside an oil mace, they're going to be tar, because the only time a keli is tomei tomas oil is if it has a base kibble. If it tomei is b'mas azal. However, if the zav would carry it, it wouldn't be tomei, because there's no halacha that the keli that the zav carries and is metama has to have a base kibble. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik said, that's the sheet that we need. After hoiro is b'mas azal, that even a zav that carries the ilfas and charonius is going to be tar. L'fishal en nigmer melachtan. And the reason is because the ilfas charonius was not nigmer melachtan. Now, what does it mean, like nigma malachta? Because even though right now the villager is going to use this plate, but at some point he's going to try to turn it into a regular plate. But because he would use it even before he did that, so it has its unique status. But Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik said, at the end of the day, I don't see this as being nigma malachta. Because it's true, temporarily, now for the interim, he's going to use it. But eventually, he's going to try to turn it into a proper plate. As a result, it's loy nigma malachta. And if it's loy nigma malachta, therefore I look at it as a plate. So Rashi helps us out here. Pashup Shan in the Gemara. So what's Rabbi Yosef want? Rabbi Yosef said, you know the Tana of the Mishnah is that if someone sticks his fist into a clump of clay, that already is considered that he made a keli for Yonah Ledur HaYotim. Oh, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik that said what? That said, Ilfis and Charonios are tahar, even if a Zav carries it. Why? Lefisha le nigma malachta. What does it have to do with anything that we're discussing? Zok Tehilga Rashi. It's because Lefisha le nigma malachta sounds like the only issue is that you didn't fashion it properly. But if the villager would fashion it and it would have a base kibble, at that point it would be Mekabel Tumah. L'chura, there's another step it should need before it's Mekabel Tumah. You should have to put it into the kifshan. You should have to put it into the furnace. And it sounds like you don't have to do that. The issue is, like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik said, l'fishloi nigmara malachtoi, which Rashi says the Rabbi Yosef understood means that the only issue is that you didn't fashion it properly. But had you done that, at that point it would be okay. So what do you see from here? That just making the Gemar Malacha, even though you didn't put it into the Kivshin yet, that's already considered a Keli. If it's considered a Keli in the world of Mekabel Tumah, it would be considered a Keli in the world of Yontif, that you shouldn't be able to do it on Yontif. But the Gemara says, Amalei Abaya, so in both Lashonis, Rabbi Yosef was asked Akasha from his Talmud Abaya, and that is, he said, I'd kind of come Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. Maybe when Rabbi Elazar say it, that's only there, the Chazilik Pulu Bamidi, and Ilfas Charonius is it's a large plate, you could do something with it. So it could be over there, once it's Nigma Malachta, even though you didn't put it into the Kivshon, it's considered a Keli. Aval Hacha, but over here, this little lamp, Lamai Chazi, what are you going to do with it? So he told the Kabbalu Bei Pshiti, even though at this point it's really not such a chash of a keli, but you could do something with it, and therefore it's going to be considered a keli. Tan Rabbana on this one, Epaix on this aner, you're not allowed to make this ner on Yontif. Ein oisin ilfas and charonius b'yontif, you're not allowed to make this ilfas charonius b'yontif. Rav Shimon Gamliel matib ilfas and charonius. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, you're allowed to make the ilfas charonius. What's the shayla? Because again, it's some inferior keli. So is it a type of keli that you're allowed to make on Yontif? Type of keli you're not allowed to make on Yontif. My charonius. So here the Gemara speaks out. What is charonius? I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, ironios. My ironios still doesn't help us. I'm Rabbi. It's sichak laisa. It's the plates that the villagers used to use. The Mishnah said, the ein oisin pechamin. You're not allowed to make pechamin on Yontif. You're not allowed to make coals on Yontif. So the Gemara pshita. It's pasha. You can't. L'may chazi. There's nothing to do with it. Meaning, the question is, what are you going to do with it that we should even ever have a mina that you should be allowed to make it on Yontif? So the Gemara says, Tani Reb Chiya taught in a Braisa, Le'nitzucha Ela Le'moysma Le'ul Yorin Le'boy Bayoin. It's Negeya, you can take the coals and you can give it to the people that operate the bathhouses. They can use it. They can use it on Yontif. Are you allowed to do it on Yontif? You allowed to take a shower on Yontif? So Gemara says, Gedama Rava, you have to invoke what Rava said, Lahazia. You're not going to literally wash yourself, you're only going to use it as a shvitz. The Kaidim Gzeira, and it's before the Gzeiras Merchatzais. Achanami, just like Rava said it to answer something else, we'll make the same Akimta, Lahazia, the Kaidim Gzeira, and obviously in Kan Mekaidim Laharich, but there was a time, even Medina the Gemara, when really you're not allowed to bathe and shower on Shabbos, that there was befores and afters. The Gemara discusses this in great detail in Parakira. So you're right, you would have to take this halach and put it in some historical context, because otherwise the bathhouses were not operating on Yontif anyways. The Mishnah said they are not allowed to take a wick and cut it into two. Rabbi Yehuda argued, and Rabbi Yehuda said, if you want to do it with fire, that's something you're allowed to do. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do it in the traditional way. Why not? Because you're making a keli. What difference does it make if you do it with R, if you don't do it with R? Says the Gemara, Tani Reb Chiya. Again, Reb Chiya explained, Rashi says what Rabbi Yehuda was referring to was, is you could take the long wick and put the two ends of the wick in two different kalin. And then take a fire, light a match, and the fire is going to cut the middle, and you're going to end up with two neiros. Being that you're doing it in such a shinui digger way, Rashi, loy muchach deletekune monoka mechavin. You know, it looks like you're just trying to light two candles. It doesn't look like you're trying to fashion a wick. It doesn't look like tikkun mana. It looks like havara. Havara is something you're allowed to do on Yontif. And as a result, this is not going to be a problem. Ramnasim Baraba Amar Rav. Ramnasim Baraba said in the name of Rav, moichten es apsila b'yontif. You're allowed to be moichet a wick on Yontif. My moichten, what does this mean? Amar Rav Chanina bar Shlamya b'shmei derav la'aduye choshcha. What it means is if you have a wick and the top of the wick becomes black, there's like a little charcoal on the top, something that you're allowed to cut off. Tani bar kaparas, on the topic of wicks. Vav dvarim nemru b'psila. There were six things that were said regarding wicks. Gimel hachmer, gimel hachmer. Three of them are chumras, and three of them are chumras. Hachmer, what are the three chumras? Ein goydel nois l'katchila. You're not allowed to braid a wick on Yontif. The ein mehavev nois abor. You're not allowed to singe it on Yontif either. So that's the malacha of taking a wick, lighting it, extinguishing it. It's like this. It's going to light better in the future. In chayt chenais l'shnayim, the halacha of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to cut into two, tikkun mano. L'haka, what are the three kulois? Memacha biyad. If you want, you can take your hand and make it thinner. The shayra b'shemen, you're allowed to soak it in oil. The chaytcha ba'ur, additionally, you're allowed to cut it with fire, like Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, b'fish tei neiros, as long as you put the two ends in two different neiros, that's something that you're going to be allowed to do. So the Gemara just mentioned something that Rab Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rab. Three lines from the top. Amar Rab Nosson Bar Abba, Amar Rab, Moichten es apsila b'yantif. And the Gemara now is going to give us a much welcomed and deserved digression. The Gemara is going to bring another statement that Rab Nosson Bar Abba said, some classic Divrei Agadah. For Amar Rab Nosson Bar Abba, Amar Rab. Rab Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rab, Atirei Bavel Yorde Gehenim Heim. The Gvirim and Bavel are going to go to Gehenna. Why? Ki hadish Shabsoi Barmerinos, and he demonstrated with a story. There was a Yid, his name was Shabsoi Barmerinos. Ichlo LeBavel, he once came to Bavel. Bo Minayu Iska. And he was struggling financially. So he went to the Chevra there, and he asked them if they would help him with Parnasa. V'lo Yavale, they didn't want to help him. Mizoini, then he said, you know what? If you don't want to help me find a job, will you at least support me? Give me some food. They didn't want to give him that either. Amar. So Shapsoy Bamarino said, quote, Hani, these Yidden may Erev Ravka also. They must be from the Erev Rav. These are not regular Yidden. They're not Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They come from the Erev Rav. How did he know that? He said, because the Pasuk says, V'loyidbak biyotchem umem en acherem, l'man yoshev Hashem echerei napoi, and the end of the Pasuk is, V'nosan l'cho rachamim, v'richamcho, v'hirbecho, kashenishbo la'avoy secho. And he quoted, he said the following, someone that's a rachamon, it's biyodua that he's from the descendants of Avraham Avinu. But someone that's not merachem al abriyos, biyodua she'enoy mizaroy shel Avraham Avinu, must be that he's not mizaroy shel Avraham Avinu. Now, where do you see that in that pasuk? So Rashi says, because the pasuk says, v'nosan locha racham and v'richamcha, and then it says kashenishba l'avisecho. So there's some connection between rachamim and avisecho. So he said kolam rachim al abrius biyaduah shel mizar shel Avraham Avinu. V'chom yishenim rachim al abrius biyaduah she'ena mizar shel Avraham Avinu. I'm Rav Nosson Barab. I'm a Rav. Another thing, Rav Nosson Barab said in the name of Rav. We're going to get back to that. Kolam tzap al shulchan acherim. Someone that relies on somebody else for food. Oylam chayshich badoy. His world is dark. Shenema. The pasuk says noyde tu la lechem. So someone who doesn't know where his food is coming from, so he's living a yom chayshech. Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda says, "Av chayav einam chayim." Tanu Rabbanan, Gimel chayeim einam chayim. The three people that their lives are not lives. Ve'elu hein hametzapel l'shulchan chaveroi. Someone that relies on somebody else. Umisha ishtay meishel esalav. Someone whose wife gets the better of him. Umisha yisurim meishel megufay. Someone who's meduka biyisurim. V'yeshayim. Some say, af misha ein lo yelo cholokech. Someone that only has one shirt. Says the Gemara b'Tanna Kamma, he didn't think that someone that only has one shirt, chayav einam chayim. No, efshe debayim b'money. Because one shirt, you can always clean it. And it's possible that your one shirt can be just fine. You're right. If you have no means to clean it, then it could be a problem, lice, etc. But if you have a means to clean it, in that case, it's not going to be an issue. So the Gemara mentioned a comment that Rav Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rav that was very much related to what we're discussing here in Masechtas Beis Hilchas Yontif, and the Gemara then digressed for a very, very brief moment, literally exhaled, and said two other divrei agada that Rav Nosson Bar Abba said in the name of Rav. The first one was Sharf, Atirei Bavel, Yordei Gehenim Hen. And the Gemara told the story. The story was Shapsoi Bar Marinus once came to Bavel, and he went to all the Shiny Eden, and nobody wanted to help him. And he was so disturbed by the fact that nobody had any Rachmanis on him. He was Nebuch starving. He was in a very, very difficult situation. And he said, these Chevra, they must be Me'erev Rav. Can't be that they're Zaroi Shel Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. He says, why? Because the pasuk says, V'nosan l'cha rachamim v'richamcha kashenishba l'avisecha. And therefore, someone that's Zaroi Shel Avram Avinu has to have rachmanis. That's the way it is. A pasuk, V'nosan l'cha rachamim kashenishba l'avisecha. So the only way it's possible for a person not to be a rachman is if he's not Mizari Shel Avram. In fact, kol ha-merachem al abriyos biyodua shu Mizari Shel Avram Avinu. V'chom mi she'ena merachem al abriyos biyodua she'ena Mizari Shel Avram Avinu. So he said, must be that these chevra are from the Erev Rav. So this is a loaded Gemara. It's miyot ha-kamus, but it's rov ha-echos. But the truth is, in order to even begin an understanding of this Gemara, we have to learn another Gemara. And this is a Gemara, Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. It goes deep into Daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph. It's in Perika Aral. It's a classic Gemara. We don't have time to go through this Gemara properly. But the backdrop of the Gemara is, the Pasuk says, Vayehi Rav Ba'aretz. This is in Shmuel Beis Perik Chav Aleph. There was a hunger. Bimei David. It was in the times of David HaMelech. Sholoi Shonim. Shana Achar Shana. And the hunger lasted for 3 years, and it was three successive years. So there were 3 years in succession where there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And the Yidden was struggling very, very much. And David HaMelech was trying to figure out what could possibly be causing this. Every year they thought the economy was going to recover, and it didn't. And this is already 3 years in, and Rachmana Litzlan, it was very, very bad. And finally, David HaMelech goes and to the Urim V'Tumim, and he's shayled by the Urim V'Tumim. He says, why is this happening? What can Pasha be? Pshat. And the Pasuk says that the Urim V'Tumim gave him an answer. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem said, the reason this is happening is because of Shaul. Vel Beis Hadomim Asher Hemis Es Hagevoinim. It's related to Shaul HaMelech, and it's related to the fact that Shaul HaMelech killed the Gevoinim. So this is a very, very long Gemara. We're just going to pick out a few excerpts that we need in Yoneinu. So the Gemara says, where do you find that Shaul killed the Gevoinim? Shaul didn't kill the Gevoinim. Ve'chihechem atzinu b'shaul she'hemis ha'gevoinim. So says the Gemara, El mitoich sh'haraf noyek irakehanim. Shaul HaMelech famously killed all the inhabitants of the city of Noivdu. There were a bunch of kehanim, then he killed the kehanim. Shoyim ha'spikim le'mayim ha'mazin. And the kehanim in Noiv, they used to support the Gevoinim. once Noiver Kehanim was wiped out, so now the Gevoinim had no way to sustain themselves, and they started suffering terribly. So because of the fact that Shaul's action towards Noiver Kehanim impacted the Gevoinim, Mal all of Akosav Kilu Hargam, so the Torah considered it as if Shaul had actually gone and offended the Gevoinim. So Shaul never had anything to do with the Gevoinim, but Shaul went and killed Noiver Kehanim. And by doing that indirectly, he caused Tzoris for the Gevoinim. So that's why the Urva Tumim told David HaMelech that, you want to know what's going on over here? Vayomer Hashem al Shaul Vel Beis Adomin. It's related to the fact Al Asher Hemis Es HaGevoinim. So who are the Gevoinim? The Gevoinim were members of the seven tribes. They came from the nation of Chivi. And when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, so the Chevra from Chivi came to Yeshua ben Nun and they told him, he says, I understand you're coming in with a mandate that says, we're not looking to fight. We'd rather not leave the land. We heard all about Kriyas Yamsif and Melchemes Amolek and Maimed Har Sinai. We want to join the bandwagon. We're willing to sign up. We'll be Megayer, we'll become Yidden, and like this, let us be. And Yeshua ben Nun said, I'm asking. He felt that this was very, very sincere, and he said, it's okay. Now, this group of people lived in Givon, and it's for that reason they were known as the Givon. But regardless, the Urim v'Tumim told David HaMelech that, you want to know why there's a hunger, and it's 3 years, year after year, and the tzaris are getting to the point where it's very, very difficult? It's because of the fact that Shaul HaMelech indirectly caused a tremendous avla to the Gevoinim. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that David HaMelech realized that the only way the hunger was going to end was if he got the Gevoinim to issue an apology. He needed a mechila, a formal apology from the Gevoinim, otherwise the tzaris were going to continue. So the pasuk says, "Vayikra Melech leGevoinim." So David HaMelech went and he called the Gevoinim. "Vayomer aleihem ma'esel lochem u'ma achaper u'baruchos nachas Hashem." He says, "It's because of you. It's because of the grudge. It's because of the kpeda that you're holding against the Yidden that all these problems are happening right now." He says, "We need to let's sit down. Let's negotiate. Tell me what you want. I'll give it to you and let all the problems go away." So the Gevoinim turned to David HaMelech, and the Gevoinim said, I'm going to tell you what we want. What we want is, we want to take revenge from the family of Shaul HaMelech. He said, hand over seven descendants from the family of Shaul HaMelech, and if you're willing to hand over seven descendants, we'll kill them, we're going to hang them, l'man yishmu v'yiro, then you're going to get the mechila that you want. So obviously David HaMelech didn't want to do that. So David HaMelech is trying, and mipayah, says the Gemara, of aloy paisino. But they wouldn't come around. Omar, so David HaMelech said the following. He said, there are three identifying marks about the Jewish people. The Yidden are Rachmanim, they're Baishonim, and they're Goyim Lechasadim. How do you know they're Rachmanim? The pasuk that our daf quoted. It says, V'nosan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'rbecha. How do you know they're Baishonim? The chsib avur tia yirasi al pneichem. And Goyim Lechasadim, because Hashem told Avram Avinu, Parshas Vayera, L'man Hashem Yitzav Ezbonov, Ves Mesoy. So he said, Kol Sheyesh by Shloisha Simonim Alalu, Royus Lidovik Ba'umazu. But anyone that doesn't have these three Simonim is not right to be part of the Jewish people. And because of that, David HaMelech turned to the Gevoinim. He says, listen, you don't want to work out a deal, Beseder. It's fine. I mean, we can't force you to give us a mechila. But at the same, you're going to get a new name right now. And you're not going to be known anymore as the Gevoinim. But now you're going to be known as the Nesinim. And that's the rest of the story. It's a story that comes up in Perikei Lunairis and in different places in Shas, more Nashim Nezikin. There was a group of Yidden called the Nesinim. They come together with Mamzer. They come together with Amoini and Mayavi. These were Yidden. But at the same time, they were not allowed to intermarry amongst the Jewish people. They were called Nesinim. And the title Nesinim, or the halachic significance of the Nasin and the Nesina and the Nesinim, that there was a group of Yidden that were not allowed to intermarry, is related to this story right here. It's because of the fact that they refused to be Meichel. Eventually, David HaMelech had to give over seven descendants of Shaul HaMelech. The Gemara talks about it, and it's a fascinating topic. But the point is that David HaMelech said that because of the fact that they were being so stubborn, he realized that they have no business being part of Klal Yisrael. Because Yidden have Shloisha Simonim. They're Rachmanim, they're Baishonim, and they're Goyim Lechasadim. And because of these three Simonim that they have, he saw that they didn't have it, and as a result, they're not Ru'uyim Lidabek Ba'umazo. So this is, of course, the longer version of what the Gemara said in our daf, that Shabsoi Barmerinus comes and he sees this yid wasn't a rachamon, and he said biyodua that he's not mizarish al avram, because kol merachim al abrius biyodua shu mizarish al avram. V'chol bishen merachim al abrius biyodua shu mizarish al avram avinu. It's based on this gemara because there's three midos that are inherently yiddish. Yidin are rachmanim, they're baishanim, and they're goyim lechasadim. So two ha'aris as it relates to this idea that yidin are rachmanim, baishanim, and going like chasadim, an idea that's very much related to today's daf, Be'er daf lamed beis, and more so related to Yevamos daf ayin ches and Yevamos daf ayin tes. This is Rei that's very much negeya, Parshas Bereishis, and Parshas Noach. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it's Paragimel, it's Mishnah Yodalad, Hu Hoya Omer, and the Hu is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Chaviv Adam, Shenivra B'tzelem. A person is so beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Maisa Bereshis in 6 days, but Adam was singled out, in that Adam wasn't just created, but it was created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Chibi Yisera Noidasle Shenivra B'Tzelem. And not only was Adam created B'Tzelem, but he was told that he was created. How do you know that? Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says in Parashas Noach, Ki B'Tzelem Elohim Asa Asa Adam. B'Tzelem Elohim Asa Asa Adam. So you see clearly that Adam was created with a Tzelem Elohim. The Tosfos Yontif on this Mishnah is very, very Meirich. And he discusses whether when the Mishnah says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, does he mean only Yidin? Or even Umay Sa'ilam. The Umay Sa'ilam, were they created B'Tzelem Elohim? Or were they not created B'Tzelem Elohim? And the Tosfos Yontif says that I've seen different Mefarshei HaMishnah say that when the Mishnah says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, it means only Yidden. Atem Kruyim Adam, Ve'ein Umay Sa'ilam Kruyim Adam. And it's referring to Yidden. The Yid was created B'Tzelem Elohim. But as it relates to Umay Sa'olam, the Umay Sa'olam were really not created B'Tzelem Elohim. But says the Tosfos Yontif that it's not true. It's poshit that the Bnei Noach were also created B'Tzelem Elohim. And he says it has to be that way. He says, first of all, Rashi says in his Pirush on the Mishnah, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, quote, Lachein Mutal Olav Lasos Ritzoyin Kainai. The purpose of saying that is because he has a purpose on this world. I mean, he wasn't just created to be. He was created with a tafkid. And the Tzelem somehow plays into his tafkid. So says the Tosfos Yontif, the Bnei Noach also have a tafkid. The Rambam in Perek Ches Hilchos Malachim talks about the Chassidei Umay Sa'olam. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kufhei says that the Chassidei Umay Sa'olam have the Chelek in Olam Haba. That means they also have some obligation. Mutal all of lasis b'tzayin koinai. So if the idea of the tzelem aleikim is the obligation to now go ahead and do something with your life, not just live it out. So if that's what it means, he said, how could the umay sa'olam be any different? And he says, it's poshet. It's poshet, he says, that's the way it is. He says, besides, what's the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted? Ki b'tzelem aleikim asa asa adam. It's a pasuk in Parashas Noach. Hashem told Noach, shoifich dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafich, ki b'tzelem aleikim asa asa adam. Hashem told Noach, that if somebody kills, shvichas dam mischai miso, why? Because a man was created, b'tzelem aleikim. So I understand. If the man was created, who was he talking to? He's talking to Noach. This is many, 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 many centuries before Kabbalah Satayr. This has nothing to do with the Bnei Yisrael. Forget, this pasuk is the makar that shvichas dam was one of the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So you see clearly that even the Bnei Noach have a Tzelem Elohim. Now the Tosfos Yontif doesn't say who were these Mefarshim that are of the opinion that a Ben Noach wasn't created B'Tzelem Elohim. But the truth is, the Medrash Shmuel brings that he himself asked Rab Chaim Vital this question. He said, Sha'alti Mayreinu V'Rabbeinu Rab Chaim Vital. When the Mishnah says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, does it mean only Yisraelim, or does it mean even Umay Sa'olam? And Reb Chaim Vital told him Atem Kruyim Adam, Ve'ein Umay Sa'olam Kruyim Adam, and he says that it's referring Dafka to Yisraelim. It's not referring to Umay Sa'olam. Just to sidebar for 1 second, if you look in the Yochanan Ubayas on this Mishnah right here. It's fascinating. The Mishnah says, Hu Ayo Omer Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. See, he brings this raid from the Tosfos Yontif, Atem Kruyim Adam. So does it mean only the Yisrael was created B'Tzelem Elohim? What about Ben Noach? And then he brings the Rambam, who the Rambam said that the Chassidu Ma'is Olam have a Chelek in Olam Haba. And he says that even though the Rambam said it and the Gemara says it, but it's poshet that this is the way it has to be. Meaning he says, even had the Rambam not said that the Chassidu Ma'is Olam have a Chelek in Olam Haba, he said it would be poshet that's the way it is. Just read a few excerpts. He says, "Vanachnu royim kama michasideim." He's referring to the Chassidah Umayis Olam. She milvad shemakirim yoytze bereishis umaminim b'toyra k'doysh ashi alikis oisin gmilas chesed gam liyisrael. The common mehen, there were many Chassidei Umayis Olam shehitivu b'yoyser l'chol b'yoylam. They make great contributions to the entire world. And then he starts giving examples, chapter and verse. Kehachosid yener shehemtzi, some sort of, I don't know if it was a vaccine or some sort of dover shal refuah. Sha'al yoda nitzoylem kama rivavais b'nei adam mechayli umimisa umimunim. He says, what about Draco? Shehevi ha-kartofel Europa. He said, he's the one that brought kartofel. Potatoes, I think, to Europe. Shema'akiv kama b'amim arav. Think about how many people have been able to survive hungers because of the fact that you have potatoes. For Gutenberg. He says, what about Gutenberg? He says, it's because of him that we're able to learn from Svarim. And he says, you find a lot of these Chassidei Umayis Olam that make great contributions to society, and it doesn't seem like they were ever rewarded on this world. The example, he says, Kachosid Reichlin, Shehero Lamoves Nafshe Lahatzel Srefes Ashasin. He said, he literally gave up his life to save the burning of the Shas. She Nitztava Meakeser Maximilian, Bishnas, Reish Samich Beis Al Yedei Asosas Hamumer Pfefferkorn, in Hakoimrin, Keshen Shal Risham Shalai, the Reichlin Anar Hishlich Nafshe Minege. He said, Reichlin literally gave up his life to try to save the Shas. He said, eventually they were roid of him, and he ended up living the end of his life, Mamish with Tsarus Kedoilus. So Freik the Tiferes Yisrael, Freik You're going to tell me he doesn't have Olam Haba? If he doesn't have Olam Haba, that means he was never rewarded in Olam Haza. Reichlin certainly was never rewarded in Olam Haza. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch, Eim Mekapech, Skar Kol Beryo. So he says, it's poshet. HaKadosh Baruch is a tzur, tamim, pa'aloi. And he wouldn't allow all these great deeds to go unpaid for. And as a result, it's poshet that there must be a chelik. It's fascinating raid there. He talks about what it means, Atem Kriyam Adam, Veinu Misa Adam Kriyam Adam, but we digress a little bit. But here's the point. Hu Haya Oim, Rabbi Kiva used to say, Chaviv Adam Shenifra B'Tzalem. Chiva Yisera Noidasloi Shenifra. So Zokta Taisus Yantiv, Chaviv Adam means even the Umayis Olam. And even though Atem Kriyam Adam, this has nothing to do with this Mishnah. Chaviv Adam, even the Umayis Olam, they were also created with a Tachlis, and as a result, they must have been created with Tzalem Elikim, just like the Yid was created with a Tzalem Elikim. Reb Chaim Vital said otherwise. I was just thinking one Ha'ara, Elu Ve'elu, perhaps, Divrei Elikim Chayim, and that is Reb Moshe Kardavera, the Ramak. In the beginning of his classic Sefer, Talmud Devora. So the Sefer Talmud Devora talks primarily about the Yud Gimel Midoy Shal Rachamim. Now these are Yud Gimel Midoy Shal Rachamim that are not based on the Pasuk Hashem Hashem Keil Rachem V'chan, but rather it's based on the Pasuk or Psukim, Mikael Kamoicha Noisei Ovoim V'Oivar Al Pesha L'Sheirus Nachlosoi, Loi Hechzik La'ad Apoi Ki Chofitz Chesed Hu, Yoshev Yerachameinu Yichbosh Avoy Neseinu, V'Sashach B'mtzul Oisem Kol Chatoisam, Titinemes Li'akiv Chesed La'avrom, Asher Nishpatu La'aviseinu Bimei Kedem. And the Talmud Devora, Reb Moshe Kardavera, he was the Avia Mikubalim in Tzfas before the Arizal. He wrote his classic Sefer based on these Psukim and based on the Soidos, was licked in these Psukim. And he starts to say for his fathers, this is Perek Rishon. Ha'adam roi sheyedam alakoyne. A person has to be like his creator. Va'oz, and if he does that, yeh besoid hatsura ha'elyoyne. If he does that, he's going to tap in to the soid, the secret of the tsura ha'elyoyne. Tselem udmus. I'm skipping. Shari ikr hatselem va'admus ha'elyoyne. What's the ikr tselem udmus? Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach. Hashem created a world, but Adam was created b'tzalmai u'b'dmusa. What does that mean? The ikr tzalem and mus is pu'uloysav. It's the pu'uloysav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramak, u'mayoyoloi heyoysai katsura el yoyna d'mus tavnes evarav. What is it worth if a person physically is in the image of God, but if Lemaisa with his Hanhoga, he's not? Lefichach says the Ramak, Roy sheyedam el pulois hakeser. What a person needs to do is he has to try to emulate the pulois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are associated with keser. Shein shloish esrei midei shorachim emal yoinois uremuzim besoid ha-psukim. These are the third yud gimel midei shorachim that are merumis in the psukim that we just mentioned. So he says that if a person does that, that's when he's going to tap in. That's when he's going to have a shaychus to this idea that a person is b'tzalem alekim. At the very end of Perek Rishon, after he goes through all the Yud Gimel Midei Shel Rachamim and he explains it in great detail, practically how a person could apply these Yud Gimel Midos Harachmim. He says, "Akan higiu shloish esrei midos shabahem yia adam doimel koine." If a person internalizes this, this is how you become like your Creator. She midos shal rachamim al yoinos uskulasan. What's the school of these midos? Ki kamoish yia adam is naig lamata, just like a person is in this world. Kach yista liftoyach loy midel yoinam al maila mamish kefi mashe is naig. He's going to be zoichet to tremendous hashkpois. So the Ramak said, "V'lochein al yalizu me'ene aseichel shloish esrei midos elu." A person should never, he shouldn't be masich das from these Yud Gimel Midos Sharachamim. Va pasuk lo yosef mi piv. A person should always have these psukim on it, the tip of his tongue. Kidei shiyir loy v'maskeres. It should be a reminder. Kashi yovel loy maisa. If a person's ever going to find himself in a situation, she yitztarich l'shtamish b'midah achas mehem, where he's going to have to pull out one of the Yud Gimel Midos, yizkir v'yoymer. He says, he'll remember, quote, harei dover zed toli b'midah ployness. Eini reitzi lozis mimena. I don't want to go away from it. Shloy tesalim v'tesalim kamidahim min oil. Dvarim neflam. Kidu a lot of skulas associated with learning the Sefer Taimed Vaira. But the beginning of the Sefer Torah Tavaira, the beginning of Parakrishan, the end of Parakrishan, he talks about that. What does it mean for a person to really be B'Tselem Elohim? It doesn't just mean to look like he's B'Tselem Elohim, but it means his Hanhoga, that if a person is going to be Noyeg, we're created B'Tzalam Alekim. Chaviv Adam, which you never B'Tzalam Alekim. Zakta Taisis Yantiv, it's the Yidits, it's the Umay Sa'ilam as well. But that's Poshit, that there's a certain Madrega of Tzalam Alekim that only the Yiddish Shayach to. Because what's that? It's Puloysev Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Ramak, what does it mean Puloysev Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the Mid of Keser. Shehen Shloish Esrei Midoy Shal Rachamim Al Yoinois. And if you go through Taim Devar, you read the 13 Midois, it's Dvarim Neflam. These are incredible, incredible Madregas of Rachamim. That's something the Yiddish Shayach to. Kol HaMirachim Al HaBriyois Biyodua Shu Mizare Shal Avram. And that level of Tzelem Elohim is something that only the Yiddish Shayach to. So Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. On some levels, Dr. Tosfos Yontif, it's true. Every single Adam was created with a tachlis, and that means he was created with Tzelem Elohim, which separates him from all the rest of Maaseh Bereishis. But at the same time, there is a Chaviv Yisra sheniver b'Tzelem. The Yid, we're Mizari Shal Avram, and as a result, the Mid of Rachmanim Baisham Goyim Lechasadim. And this gives you a better appreciation. What does it mean, Rachmanim? It doesn't just mean you can have compassion. Everyone can have compassion. A behemoth could also have compassion. There's nothing to do with that. The point is, these are Madregas Gedolos, the Yud Gimel Midos that Rav Moshe Kardavera talks about in the Taima Devaira. That's what it means, that a person is shaykh to those levels. That comes from the fact that the Yid is created B'Tselem. And if that's the case, those Midos of Rachman, which is the Iker Tselem Elohim, that's something that only the Yid has shaykh to. The Ramami Pano asks Akash, really all the nice Sekela Mass, that the Mishnah says, "Who are your Omer? Chaviv Adam, Shenivr B'Tzelem." How do you know that? Shenemer, ki B'Tzelem Elikim Asa Asa Adam. Ki B'Tzelem Elikim Asa Asa Adam. Parshas Bereishis. Why would you jump into Parshas Noach? Hashem created Adam, B'Tzalmai. Nasa Adam, B'Tzalmeinu. It's the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. How do you know a person was created B'Tzelem Elikim? Ki B'Tzelem Elikim Asa Asa Adam. So the Ramami Pano said a Dover Nifla. He said, there's a Chiddush in Parshas Noach. You know what the Chiddush is? That happened after the Mabul. So Kedai Techamina, you would have thought the Yid was created with a Tzalem Elikim. But well, the person, man, was created with Tzalem Elikim. But maybe he lost it. He fapachked it. Noch the Mabul. Even in Parshas Noach, Noach walks out of the table. There's nobody in the world. We have to start from scratch. Oh, but forget it. Ki B'Tzalem Elikim Asas Adam. Adam Arishan Kaidem Achet, of course, was B'Tzalem Elikim. That's not a Chiddush. The Chiddush is Adam Arishan La'achar Achet. The Chiddush is after the Chet HaMabul. Still, it was Ki B'Tzalem Elikim Asas Adam. That's where the Chiddush is. That's the first Ara. The second Ara, shorter, and that is that in the Sefer Igeres Hatil, so just a little bit of historical background. So the Sefer Igeres Hatil was written by the brother of the Maral. So the Maral had an older brother. He was known as Reb Chaim Reb Tzalo Mifriedberg, the Chia Maral. He's most famous for his Sefer Chaim. The Sefer Chaim is most famous for the fact that he said that the word Gemara is Rosh Tevis, Gavriel, Michal, Rafal, and Oriel, and that when a Yid learns Gemara, Taitan Alach, Vitaita Chalon, he has a Shmir El Yoina, he Zoichata, Mimini, Michal, Mesmoil, Gavriel, Mefane, Ariel, Mechay, Rafal, Val Rosh Shechin Askel. It comes from the Sefer Achaim. But Tachia Maral wrote more than one Sefer. One of the Sferim that he wrote was called Igeres Hatil. So I recently
got a hold of the Sefer and I was looking at it on Yontif a little bit. And in Igeres Hatil, he says the following. Now just the background, the way Igeres Hatil is written, so it's broken down into four parts. Chelek HaPshat, Chelek HaRemez, Chelek HaSoid, and Chelek HaDrush. So it's based on the concept of Pardes, and it goes in order of the Aleph Beis. So he has an Aleph Beis Gimel, it's short, and it's sort of understandable. So in Ois Gimel, he says as follows. He says the word Govar, we say in Tehillim, Halu es Hashem kol goyim, Shabchu kol umim, Ki Govar aleinu chazdoi. So said Achi Amaral, Reb Chaim Reb Tzalum Friedberg. This is in the 16th century. See, he said the word Govar is Rosh HaTevis. It's Nutriken. Goyim Leichasodim, Baishonim, and Rachmanim. Govar is Goyim Leichasodim, it's Baishonim, it's Rachmanim. So he said these are the three Simonim that the Gemara says in Yevamos Ayin Tesam and Aleph, a little bit kitzer in Beya, Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. These are the three Simonim that are Mavdul Yisrael Misharu Umois. See, he says, Upirish HaKosov, Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu Kol Umim, all the Goyim, all the Umim, everybody thanks Hashem because they were Zoicha, Obeklaius from when we Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something a little more unique, and that is Ki Govar Oleinu Chazdai, that we were bestowed with the Midah of Govar. Govar is Goyim Leichasodim, it's Baishonim, and it's Rachmanim. This is what Reb Chaim Reb Tzalmi Friedberg said in his Igeres Hatil, it's in Chelek HaRemez, it's Ois Gimel. But I just had one hergish, and that is that the Midah of Gvur is the Midas Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say in Shmoyne Esrei, HaKel HaGodoyl HaGibar VaNoira. Godoyl is Chesed, Gibar is Din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chesed and Din. Allah b'machshava to create the world by Midas Hadin Zok Rashi in the beginning of his Pirush Al HaTorah v'Shiteif, and then he was Meshatef Midas HaRachamim. Gvur is always Midas Hadin. But what does Gvura stand for? The Shoresh of Gvura is Gimel Beis Resh. It's Gvura. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goyim Leichasodim, Baishonim and Rachmanim. And tucked away in the Midas Hadin, it's always laced with the biggest Hashpois of Rachamim. It's Goyim Leichasodim, it's Baishonim and it's Rachamim. And that reminded me of another word that I saw on Yontif in the Igeres Hatil. And we'll end with this. And that is, and this is in the Chelek HaSoid, Ois Kof. So in the Chelek HaSoid Ois Kof, he mentions also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Al testakel bekankan, ela b'mashe yeshbay. Al testakel bekankan, ela b'mashe yeshbay. Don't look at the kankan, feels like today's daf. Ela b'mashe yeshbay, what's inside the kankan? So he said, Pshat es hazeh. He says, the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisiso, after the Pasuk mentions the Yud Gimel Midas Sharachanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noitzach Esel La'alofim, and they say, Ovin v'pesh v'chato, and then it says, V'nake, Lo yenake, poiked avoyin ovis al bonim, val bnei bonim, al shileishim val ribeim. So the pasuk, this is the biggest rachamim, the yud gemo midei shal rachamim. But then it ends, venake lo yenake. Those are scary words. Venake lo yenake, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be menake. Ayin Rashi, ayin Chazal in different places. But venake lo yenake is scary. So said Reb Chaim Reb Tzalmi Friedberg, Achi Agodol Shal Amaral. He said, Al Tisnakel B'Kankan. You're going to come to the Pasuk that says, V'naka Lo Yanaka, and you're going to be scared. Wow, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a meat of Lo Yanaka. So he said, Al Tisnakel B'Kankan. Don't look at the nun kuf, of the words V'naka Lo Yanaka. Ela B'mashe Yeshboy. Look at the letters surrounding those words. V'naka is Vav Nun Kuf He. There's a vav in the beginning of the word and there's a hey at the end of the word. Yinake is yud nun kuf hey. It says nun ke, but there's a yud and a hey. If you take the vav and the hey of vinake and the yud and the hey of yinake, you have the shem avaya. You have the shem yud ke vav ke. So he said, Al tistakel bekankan. Don't look at the kankan. Ela b'mashi yeshbay. Look into yud ke vav ke. This is a vart from 500 years ago. So he said that with this you can understand. We say on Chanukah, moving along. Feels like Chanukah should be next week. So it says in Chanukah, U'minoisar kankanim, nase neis l'asheshanim. So he said, what was the minoisar kankanim? U'minoisar kankanim. It's the minoisar. It's the vav and the hey of v'nake. And it's the yud and the hey of yinake. The minoisar, the shirayim of v'nake, lo yinake, was nase neis l'asheshanim. And this is mamish the same word. That in v'nake, lo yinake,
there's the shame Yudke Vavke. In the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Gvura. But Gvura is Gibar. It's Goymlei Chasadim. It's Baishanim. And it's Rachmanim. And that's the message of the Mishnah. Al Tistakel Bekankan. Elo B'Mashe Yeshbay. That what appears to be Midas Adin Mibachutz. But don't be Mistakel. You have to look inside. Dig deeper. Don't just look at Mibachutz superficially. It looks like Midas Adin. It looks like Gvura. It looks like Vinake Lo Yanake. But if you can figure out a way to look into the kankan, Ela B'Mashe Yeshboy, in the Gvura you're going to see Goymlei Chasadim, Baishanim, and Rachmanim, and in the Vinake Lo Yanake, you're going to see the Shem Havayah.